All right, here we go. John Heyman from MLB Network is speculating there could be an Indians-Dodgers blockbuster during this coming offseason. Francisco Lindor, one of the most dynamic players in the game, he'll be a free agent after the 2021 season. Dodgers frontrunners to get Lindor with Corey Seager sliding over to third base. Two questions, John. First one, would you give up Gavin Lux, who had two home runs last night, in a deal for Lindor?
Yes, but I always want to do that. The harder question would be, what if they ask for Seager?
Yeah, Seager's having just a monster year.
But if it is Francisco Lindor, the reason the Indians would do that is Seager's cost-controlled a little longer than Lindor is.
Well, Lindor's a free agent after the 2021 season, right, so he's a free agent after next year.
Right, and so the Dodgers would – he's looking for – Mookie Betts money.
He's looking for $300 million. He's turned down, apparently, reportedly turned down $250 million from the Indians.
I would trade Lux in a heartbeat. I think I would trade Seager, but it's harder. If you could trade for Francisco Lindor without giving up a current starter, so in other words, make
That's
Lux...
That's not happening. He's one of the best players in baseball.
Hold
it's not
on,
happening.
But you have to put yourself in the Indians' shoes. What the Indians would want are guys who are young and under team control. So, Mace, here's the trade. If I'm the Indians, here's who I ask for, okay?
Yep.
I right out of the gate, I ask for Kiebert Ruiz, Gavin Lux, and Dustin May for Francisco Lindor. Do you do it?
Gavin Lux...
Kiebert Ruiz.
Dustin May. No.
I don't think it's going to take that
not.
Much,
that,
by the
yeah,
way.
I don't think it's going to take that much. By the way, what did the Red Sox get for Mookie Betts? They got Alex Verdugo, Jeter Downs, and Connor Wong.
So I think it would only take one or possibly two of those guys on my list, not all three. I think I would actually do it for Gavin Lux and Dustin May.
I would not give up Dustin May. Aside from Kershaw, he's been their most reliable starter this year.
What if he was the deal breaker, though?
If the deal would be broken?
You would not even if you could keep Lux?
I'm not giving up
Whoa,
Dustin May.
You're out of your mind. You could have Francisco Lindor for Dustin May and you're not doing it?
You're talking about straight up. You were talking about a package of guys, Lux and Dustin May.
No, but what I'm saying now is make Dustin May the centerpiece and give up two other minor leaguers, not Lux or Ruiz.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it because on top of everything else, you got to sign him to a $300 million deal
The only way you make the deal is if you're planning on doing
that. If you're planning on spending that much money, are you hamstringing yourself?
No, because you got to think of it this way. Probably by the time you have to give that deal to Lindor, Kershaw, Turner, and maybe Kenley Jansen are all off the books.
Well, see, this is why it kind of works, because Turner's off the books after this year. Seager could slide over to third. Lindor
right.
slides into short.
And then you think Kershaw and Jansen will probably be off the books, too.
Didn't they sign 4 years?
Yeah, but that was 3 years ago.
Oh, you're right. Jansen is off the books.
Yeah, so that's how you can afford to pay Lindor.
Yeah. All right.
It's interesting, though. All right. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks were eliminated from the playoffs last night by Miami, the second year in a row that the Bucks finished with the best regular season record but failed to make the finals. Over the next few days, Giannis is expected to receive his second straight regular season MVP award. This creates a very awkward moment for the NBA. They are going to award Giannis the trophy after he's been knocked out.
Yeah.
They had to do the same thing when Dirk Nowitzki won the MVP back in 2007.
Didn't they go out in the first round that year?
Yeah, he lost to Golden State, and they gave it to Dirk in a hotel. Two questions here. Should the NBA change this and just wait till the end of the playoffs and do all of these awards after the finals? I would have voted for LeBron anyway, but now LeBron is proving why. Should the postseason figure into these awards? That's the first question.
Well, okay. First question is absolutely. I think there should be one MVP award for the regular and postseason. No vote until it's all over.
And give it up at the end of the year. I agree with you. Now, if you're not going to do it, because a lot of people, their counter to us would be, it's a regular season award. It's always been a regular season award. We're not changing it. Okay. So if you're sticking with that, why not give out the bigger awards at the start of the playoffs?
Of the playoffs, yeah.
That way you avoid this scenario. You can always give away the sixth man, the coach of the year, the defensive player of the year later. Nobody makes a big deal out of those. but the MVP is a big deal. The reason they stagger these awards in the postseason is so they're always in the news.
Yep.
You know, they get a news cycle of about a month. But the games themselves are the feature now. We have games every night, and we're all talking about the games. Give the MVP award off at the start of the playoffs as kind of a kickoff. Wouldn't that be smarter?
Yeah, it would be smarter. It would be smarter to get it out of the way so that you avoid embarrassing situations like this. It's embarrassing. What is it going to be, in a hotel lobby?
Or in the Bucks practice facility? In the time we're in, it'll probably be virtual.
Yeah. By the way, I don't understand why they don't give those awards like during games when guys are playing.
Well, if Giannis would have, like, even if they would have done it a couple of days ago, Giannis could have gotten it in the bubble.
Right.
But now he's going to get some goofy Zoom thing.
It's weird. All right. DeAndre Hopkins has signed a big extension with the Arizona Cardinals, gets a 2-year extension for $54.5 million. He's got the third most receiving yards and catches, second most touchdowns, and most targets in the NFL since 2013. I've heard this said a lot. Is Hopkins the best receiver in football?
No. Michael Thomas of the Saints is the best receiver in football, but Hopkins is top three. For sure. Probably Julio Jones is the other guy.
I think those are the three. I think it's Julio, Hopkins, and...
But Michael Thomas catches 150 passes a year.
But Michael Thomas would also be my choice.
Yeah, but DeAndre Hopkins is fantastic. I think he deserves the extension. I think he's a great player. It'll be interesting to see if Kyler Murray and Hopkins can develop chemistry right away, right out of the gate. I assume they can, because Hopkins catches anything you throw near him. And he's a little more of a deep threat than Thomas. But, I love Hopkins. I think he's fantastic.
Yep.
All right, it's me. Mace, welcome back, Cotter.
Welcome back, Cotter.
Debuted 45 years ago tonight.
Wow.
September 9th, 1975. It was a huge hit for ABC. Starring Gabe Kaplan as a teacher of a troubled group of high school kids in New York. Mr. Cotter was put in charge of the Sweat Hogs, four kids who other teachers could never get under control, but Cotter did.
Yes.
Can you name any of the four Sweat Hogs?
Okay. Vinny Barbarino.
Very good. Played by...
John Travolta.
The start of John Travolta's career. Very good. That was
Horseshack.
Arnold Horseshack, played by Ron Palillo, who could never get away from being typecast as Horseshack. He had that very distinctive laugh. Who else?
Two more.
A black guy and a Hispanic guy.
Nope, I'm stumped.
Okay. The black guy was Freddie Boom Boom Washington.
Freddie Boom Boom Washington.
Played by Lawrence Hilton Jacobs. He's the guy who came up with Mr. Cotter.
Yes.
And then the last one I'm surprised you didn't get, Juan Epstein.
Oh, I should get somebody named Juan.
By Robert Hedges, because the bit that he had was whenever he didn't do his homework, he always had a note, and it would be signed, Dear Mr. Cotter, Juan did not have time to do his homework due to, and he would make up some absurd thing, and it would always be signed, Epstein's mother. Now, Briones, have you ever heard of any of the Sweat Hogs?
No, man, it's the first time.
Lindsay, how about you?
I've never seen that show in my life.
Yeah.
Wow. So you guys didn't know John Travolta started on TV?
Nope.
Nope.
Wow.
It's a crazy show. By the way, I think Gabe Kaplan still owns a sports bar on Sepulveda near National.
Another little known fact, Gabe Kaplan used to host a morning show on one of the all sports stations, a morning radio show in town, probably in the 90s.
Remember, wow.
Both Gabe Kaplan, I think it was called Sports Nuts, both Gabe Kaplan had a crack at morning radio, and do you remember who the other celebrity who had a crack at morning radio was? Morning sports radio?
No.
Steve Garvey.
I replaced Steve Garvey.
Garvey and Company.
Yeah, I replaced Steve Garvey at the Mighty 690.
Yeah, those
back
those
in
were
the day.
Those were the two. But
all right, let's see. Some college football check that. Some college basketball conferences may start late in November this year, and some in January, because there could be unbalanced schedules. Coach K has an idea, and now the ACC seems to have joined it. They say that this is the year the college basketball should expand to 128 teams. That way, teams who have played 15 games can make the tournament, along with teams that have played close to 30 games. What do you think of Coach K's idea?
Do you know who I first heard this idea from? You were sitting next to me when he presented it. Do you remember?
Do you really think I would remember something like that?
I did. It's
very complicated for me to remember.
No, I did because of who it was.
Oh, it was John Wooden.
It was John Wooden.
Yeah.
John Wooden came and sat down with us when we were doing the old show on TV and said, every team should be let into the tournament. Wooden was from Indiana, and they did that state tournament in Indiana. And he said, what makes it great is that everyone has a chance. And so why not? Why not do it? If it's good enough for John Wooden, it's good enough for me. You could actually start, in essence, the tournament in November or December. And if you lose, you're out of the tournament. You could always keep playing games. But then in order to keep winning, you'd have to, you know, it's like a giant March Madness that lasts 3 months. I'm all for it.
You know what? In this particular, I'm not always for it. But in this particular year, where some schools are going to start maybe November, some schools are going to start maybe January, I'm in favor of it because not everybody is going to play the same number of games, so why not let everybody into the tournament and give them a level playing field to go at it? In this particular year, in this COVID year, where not everybody's playing the same schedule, I say 128 teams, I'm all for it.
Yeah, me too. I think, why not? I mean, you got to try crazy stuff like baseball's doing. I think if you're ever going to try something goofy, you should do it. By the way, a lot of reaction to the welcome back Cotter question. Chris Morales just texted me. God, I loved welcome back Cotter. Mace would have been great as Horseshack. Greg Bergman, welcome back Cotter was a fantastic show. And by the way, Kaplan is a really big poker player. Did not know that.
Well, that's just random. Why do you throw Scott Kaplan in there?
No, Gabe Kaplan.
Oh, Gabe Kaplan.
What's wrong with you?
There goes that memory again.
It's Gabe Kapler, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. He probably just had an autocorrect.
Yeah, it's Gabe Kapler. That's why I looked at it. It says Kaplan.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, it's somehow Scott Kaplan.
Hey, Bergman, get
tweet.
Back to losing weight.
Yeah, seriously.
All right. It's to me, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mace, you... of all my friends, are a huge fan of all things Tiger King. And the latest thing to come out of that franchise, I'm not making this up, is Joe Exotic underwear.
Oh, yeah.
According to TMZ, Joe Exotic's underwear collection is selling like crazy, thanks in part to his nemesis, Carol Baskin. Joe's custom boxer briefs went on sale Labor Day and sold out within hours, raking in $50,000 in online sales. The top seller is the limited edition Casket Baskin boxer brief, which depicts blood red ice cream in a cone reminiscent of Baskin Robbins.
That sounds awful.
Of course it does. How long do you think this Tiger King underwear fad will last? And are you surprised people are still buying anything that has to do with Tiger King?
Well, remember, there's a huge revival of Tiger King right now because Carol Baskin is on Dancing with the Stars. So they've extended the life. You know, she's now, 15 minutes of fame? It's about 25 after the hour right now. She's a little past her 15 minutes of fame. But I will say that as long as it goes on, it's sticky. And if you say to me years from now, what TV do you remember from the pandemic? My answer will be Tiger King and The Last Dance. Those are the two shows.
My answer will be the Lakers winning a title in the bubble.
Oh, well, I'll take that. I was talking about when nothing was going on. But there you go. There's your scoop. By the way, we've totally screwed up this game. Gabe Kaplan is the guy from Welcome Back, Cotter. Gabe Kapler is the manager of the Giants.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I was thinking who you were talking about. And I was like, wait, what? No, that's
yeah,
not
no,
the same
we've
person.
Completely wet the bed on this. You're right. Yes. Those are two different guys. I can't believe Lindsay and Jorge have never even heard of Welcome Back, Cotter.
John, it's a million years ago.
I never said I didn't hear of it. I just said I've never seen it. I've heard my dad talk about it, but I've never seen it.
John, I was 9 years old. Lindsay was born...
Yeah,
what?
After it ran.
It ran
from 75 to 80.
It was a fun show. I was in syndication
after that.
Yeah, I was in junior high when that show was on. It was great. There it is.
Now this song went to number one. You remember who sang this, Mace?
Terry.
I think it's John Sebastian, isn't it?
No, you're right. It's John Sebastian. Yep.
Were you thinking it was that big guy who sings the baseball songs, Terry? What is that? Those terrible baseball. Terry Cashman.
Terry Cashman. Yeah, those are.
Those
awful.
Songs were those terrible.
Songs. We hated those. Yep, there you have it. There's Welcome Back, Cotter. All right, coming back next, we will circle back to the big story of the day, which is the Lakers with a 2-1 series advantage on the Houston Rockets. How did it happen? We'll dive into that coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, what is going on? Lakers have taken a 2-1 series lead over the Houston Rockets. A comfortable 10-point win. LeBron, 29 in the first half, went on to score 36. Had four big blocks in the second half. Rajon Rondo, fantastic off the bench. 21 points on 8 of 11, 9 assists and a steal. And Frank Vogel went small much of the night. I think JaVale played only 7 minutes. Dwight did not play. There was a lot of Markieff Morris and a lot of Kyle Kuzma and a lot of Rajon Rondo. And the defense really worked, especially in the second half, John.
And here's something to look at, to pay attention to in game four tomorrow. And by the way, we'll have game four for you tomorrow. Because it's an afternoon game, Mason and I are only on for an hour tomorrow.
Ugh.
Mason and I are on from 1 to 2. Lakers pregame at 2. Tip-off, game 4, Lakers and Rockets from the bubble is at 4 o'clock tomorrow. If you're trying to plan your day, 4 o'clock tomorrow, Lakers-Rockets. So, keep an eye on this. The Lakers shot 55% from the field.
Yep.
It's the fifth time in the playoffs that they've hit at least half their shots. Including the regular season, the Lakers are now 32-0. When shooting at least 50% from the field.
Mm.
They shot 62% from the field in the first half. That tied their best shooting percentage in a playoff half this year. And their 69% shooting in the second quarter was their best shooting quarter of the postseason. And one of the reasons why those percentages are so high, Mace, is they're getting a lot of dunks and layups.
Yeah, in fact, I've got a follow-up sassy stat to that. The Lakers were 28 for 36 in the paint on Tuesday. That's 78%. They were 27 of 36 in the paint last night. That's 75%. They're the first team in 25 years to shoot 75% in the paint in consecutive playoff games.
And, you know, the other thing is, if you look at the benches, you know, rotations tighten when you get to the playoffs.
Yes.
The starters play more minutes. But for the second game in a row, the Rockets only had one player off the bench score. In game 2, it was Daniel House. Last night, it was Jeff Green. And what that's leading to is that the Laker bench is just dominating the Rockets bench.
Yeah, yeah.
In game 2, the Laker bench outscored them 41-13. And last night, it was 42-16. So they're not getting anything from their bench, Houston. And it'll be weird. You know, the rumors are that if the Lakers were to knock the Rockets out, let's say, in 5, which is what you're predicting. I think it might go 6. But there are rumors persisting that Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets, may completely clean house. Daryl Morey has already come out and said that no matter what happens in this series, his number one priority is keeping Mike D'Antoni.
Now, I heard Tim McMahon on with Sliwa during the pregame show last night. And McMahon says that he thinks Daryl Morey is safe, but D'Antoni is not.
Well, and there's rumors that D'Antoni, we haven't talked about this yet, Billy Donovan and the Thunder split up last night. So I don't get that.
He did a phenomenal job this year.
So here's how to read that. It means that the Thunder have 8 first-round draft picks in the next 7 years in addition to their own. So they're going to go through a complete rebuild. And I think what happened was that Sam Presti sat down with Donovan and said, all right, Billy, I don't know if you're going to want to coach this team, but I'm getting rid of Chris Paul. I'm getting rid of Danilo Gallinari. I'm getting rid of Steven Adams. That's the speculation, is that they could go complete rebuild. It's not guaranteed. You never know.
Yeah.
But I think Donovan.
But there are not the makings of a championship team there. There's a really good team there, but it's not a team that's going to compete for a championship.
Right. And so Donovan now becomes a candidate for the open job in Chicago, the open job in Indiana,
yep,
the open job in Philadelphia, the open job in New Orleans. With Oklahoma City now, there are 5 open jobs. And what'll be interesting is last week we talked about how and Steve Nash was announced today as the new head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. And Nash was asked about the complaints that he jumped the line, that he hasn't put in the work as an assistant, and he's just, and you remember Stephen A. even accused it of being white privilege.
Yeah.
And it was surprising what Nash said. He said, I did jump the line, and that white privilege conversation should be had. And he said, the reason I think I jumped the line is because of my career, not because I'm white. But
sure.
He said, you know, I am a beneficiary of white privilege, just like a lot of guys are. And Mace, I think Stephen A's whole point in bringing it up, I think he was wrong to focus on Nash being a beneficiary of white privilege, because I think he's just, the reason Nash got that job because he's friends with Durant and Kyrie.
Correct. And it's a players league, and that's who they wanted to play for.
But. If Stephen A's goal in bringing it up was to point out that the league is 80% black, and now even with Nash getting the Brooklyn job, there are 5 openings. And in a couple of the openings, a black guy was not rehired.
Correct.
Jock Vaughn in Brooklyn, Alvin Gentry in New Orleans. If all 5 of these jobs go to white guys,
something's wrong.
Doesn't Stephen A have a point?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Something's wrong. I mean, I think the Nash hiring comes at a weird time because we're in the middle of the Black Lives Matter movement. It says Black Lives Matter on the court. Guys are wearing jerseys with messages, and there's an effort by players to drive more African-American front office jobs and head coaching jobs. And so it comes on the heels of that. And that's why the optics aren't good for it. Now, we know, for example, I think one of these jobs will go to Donovan. One of these jobs will go to D'Antoni. Maybe Jason Kidd. Maybe Tyronn Lue.
I think Tyronn Lue probably gets the New Orleans job. Maybe the Philly job. He's rumored to be a leading candidate in both. But part of the issue is, Mace, that the reason Ty Lue's being considered is that he's been a head coach and he's been successful before.
Yeah, he's won a championship.
Right. So you got to get an opportunity. You're easier to hire. Like the reason Mike Brown got the Laker job a few years ago was because he had been a head coach before and had some success.
Yeah.
Same thing with Byron Scott. He had been a head coach before and he had had some success. So if you hire somebody like Sam Cassell and give him a start at one of these jobs, then at least he gets his, you know, people start seeing him as a head coaching candidate. I certainly hope that all 5 of these jobs don't go to white guys. In the time and age that we're living in, and with, like you say, Black Lives Matter written all over the court, in a league that's 80% black, I would hope that one or two or even more of these jobs go to black candidates. Because Ty Lue and Jason Kidd should both get jobs. I mean, they both had great success in other places.
Yeah, they absolutely should. All right, coming up next for you. John, what does Milwaukee do now? They've exited the playoffs. They've won 75% of their games the last 2 years, but they can't do squat in the postseason. What do they do now? Let's get into that next coming up for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. John, do you know what a technosexual is?
I do not.
A technosexual? So a company called WeVibe, a research company, revealed that 14% of men admit to being aroused by their smart speaker, Alexa.
What?
Yes. Yes.
No.
Come
yes.
on.
No way.
It's
You're
true.
You're making this up.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Technosexuals are joined to their favorite gadgets, whether it's the ping of a machine swiping right, the seductive authoritative tones of a cloud-based voice service. Their tech fulfills them by mobilizing the reward system in the brain, releasing dopamine, the happiness hormone. John, you've got a choice. Your wife or all your gadgets?
Does that include my phone?
Yes. Your wife or your phone and your internet and all your technical gadgets?
The answer is my wife, but I have to admit I thought about it for a second.
See? You're on the verge of being a technosexual. Now, my Alexa speaker does nothing for me. She's not my type.
I mean, they did make an entire movie
but
about
if,
this. Remember?
Yeah, if you had a male voice on your Alexa speaker, it might
true.
Be different.
Then I might fall for it. Anyway, let's see. Let's do the Milwaukee Bucks exit last night, and Giannis did not play because of the ankle injury. But Milwaukee is at sort of a crossroads because Giannis is a free agent after next year. They have won 75% of their games in the last 2 years, haven't scratched in the postseason. What do you do if you're Milwaukee when you know Giannis's free agency is coming up?
It's a great question. And let me start by saying I think players have earned the right to go wherever they want. If
sure.
Giannis wanted to leave and go to another team, he's earned that right. And I have no problem with guys like LeBron and Kevin Durant who have exercised their right, but I hope he stays in Milwaukee and I hope the Bucks figure it out. And because I think it's, you know, when I saw Kobe play his whole career with the Lakers and eventually win championships and, you know, be recognized, I mean, that's special. And I hope that Milwaukee can figure out a way to keep him. But what would I do if I'm the Bucks? The Brian Windhorst was on The Jump today.
We have that actually.
Okay, and did he mention someone specifically that may end up in Milwaukee?
I can't believe how much this reminds me of the 2009 Cavs, LeBron's first stint in Cleveland. That team won 66 games, okay? Number one overall seed, but was a flawed roster. They didn't have a Chris Middleton, but they had other good players. They ran into a bad matchup in the Orlando Magic, lost in six, frankly should have lost in five. Almost the same way this matchup was terrible for Milwaukee with Miami. And with LeBron 1 year from free agency, the pressure was thundering on the Cavs' skulls, and they traded for an over-the-hill Shaquille O'Neal to try to save it. And LeBron couldn't extend. He couldn't commit at that point. And here we are. I'm telling you, Chris Paul to Milwaukee is going to become a conversation. I don't know how serious it'll get. It will become a conversation. It's almost the exact same thing. I don't know what the result of it will be different, but I feel so many remembrances watching this play out.
Chris Paul to Milwaukee is a home run.
Right.
That's exactly the player that Giannis needs.
And I think that it would work for both teams. I think that it would, you know, Oklahoma City wants to jumpstart a rebuild.
Yep.
Milwaukee needs another elite player to play with Giannis and somebody who could take the ball. I think that might be the way for them to keep Giannis. Giannis came out after the game last night and said all the right things.
Yeah, we've got to that too. Here's Giannis after the game last night.
Hopefully we can learn from this and you know, get better as a team and come back and hopefully we can build a culture in Milwaukee that for many years that we can come out here and compete every single year for a championship.
So he is obviously English not his first language. He's Greek. But from listening to the way he said that, I get the sense that he's going to stay in Milwaukee. Don't you think he's an earnest guy? I don't think he's saying the right things for the sake of saying the right things. I think he's honest and direct, and he's saying we want to build a winning culture in Milwaukee.
And he didn't demand a trade.
No.
Which is what other players have done in that situation. I think that the pathway is there for the Bucks to keep Giannis, but I don't think, Mace, they can stand pat. I don't think they can just come back with the exact same roster and the exact same coaches and say,
no,
let's do it again. They've done this for 2 years. They've been bounced in the playoffs. They didn't even make it to the finals either year. I think they got to try something different, and I think Windhorst's suggestion is good.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
I want to get a couple of things here. First of all, do you know that Monday Night Football has got a brand new theme song?
So Hank Williams Jr. is out?
Yeah, they think all my rowdy friends are coming over tonight. Doesn't seem appropriate given the fact that there will be no rowdy friends at the stadium.
Fair enough.
So they've decided to go with a different theme song. It is a Little Richard song. Listen to this. It is a Little Richard. There you go.
And I just got paid. Feeling by my money, don't try to save. My heart said go, go. Have a time for Saturday night. Now I feel fine. Gonna rock it up.
Right? That totally works.
Except doesn't he say it's Saturday night twice?
Yeah, I think they'll probably, well, they can't really change it because Little Richard has passed away.
Right.
But they'll have to say it's Monday night.
Yeah, maybe they're able to.
But it's a good theme song.
I was going to say, you'd be surprised at how much technology can do. I'm sure they'll have no problem changing it.
They'll just do one of them Little Richard deepfakes.
Or they could get a modern day. They could get like Blake Shelton or somebody to do it.
Right, right.
But it would probably have to. You know who I would get to do it? Because all the Black Lives Matter movement. I'd get Bruno Mars to do it.
Oh, he'd be great. Yeah he'd be great. So that's the new Monday Night Football theme song. And then we've waited. We have waited. Vin Scully has become a very active guy on social media.
That's misleading. I think this is his second tweet.
Pull up a chair, everybody.
Well, I think he says that actually in this story.
here is Vin Scully.
Well, he needs a little setup.
Okay, go ahead.
Today is the anniversary of Sandy Koufax's perfect game, right?
Ah, got it.
It happened on September 9th at Dodger Stadium against the Cubs, and Vin tells a story about that game, which, you know, happened on September 9th in the 1960s.
So wherever you are, pull up a chair. Here's Vin.
There's been a lot written about Sandy Koufax's perfect game, September the 9th, 1965, but there's a little story in the game itself that I don't believe has ever been told before. So pull up a chair, it won't take time. With one out in the ninth inning and the crowd going wild, Joe Amalfitano, who later on would become a Dodger coach, came up to the plate and struck out. Crowd went wild, one out to go. As Joe walked back towards the dugout, kneeling in the on-deck circle was teammate Harvey Keene. And Amalfitano said to Keene amidst all the roar, "Boy, he's really bringing it tonight." And Harvey, who's kind of a pixie guy anyway, said to Joey, "I'll be right back." Well, he was right back. He went up, struck out, and that was the final out in the masterpiece of Sandy Koufax, a near masterpiece by Bob Hendley of the Cubs, who allowed only one hit and lost the game.
You know, I think he probably just has all that stuff in his head.
You know, well, I mean, it's like when he used to do the Dodger games.
It's just he speaks in baseball.
By the way, Lindsay just texted me something that I did not know. Bruno Mars is not black?
No, he's not. In fact, a lot of people have accused him of cultural appropriation.
Okay, I just looked it up. His father is half Puerto Rican and half Jewish descent from the Ukraine, and originally is from Brooklyn. His mother emigrated from the Philippines to Hawaii and is of Filipina and some Spanish ancestry.
Huh.
I never knew that.
Oh, he's our kind, though, I guess. Latino.
Yeah, it sounds like he is. He's a quarter Latino.
I'm sure Filipinos would claim Bruno. Puerto Ricans would claim him. I think he's got a lot of. He can set foot in a lot of camps.
So Lindsay, they've accused him of cultural appropriation.
Yeah, I remember there being a lot of stuff on Twitter. There was like a Vibe or Complex, one of those magazine stories about it over the, I don't know, maybe when, back when he did the Super Bowl. Because, you know, he, like you thought, John, a lot of people think he's black, and I think it's because of the way he portrays himself. I'm not really sure because I'm not black, so I can't speak to that, but I think that a lot of people, at least from what I've seen, it's at least been a conversation.
Okay, so according to Cambridge Dictionary, cultural appropriation is the act of taking or using things from a culture that is not your own, especially without showing that you understand or respect this culture. Huh. So he's making music. I don't think of him as making black music. I just think of him making music.
Right. It'd be interesting. Because I always thought he was just by looking at him, but that's a dumb thing to think.
Activist Saren Sensei says, Bruno Mars, 100% cultural appropriator. He is not black at all, and he plays up his racial ambiguity to cross genres. I don't know. He's just singing music.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't get that. Do you get that, Lindsay?
Oh, I get it. I know what cultural appropriation is, and I totally understand it. And, like, I think that the issue is that, like, he's tried to make himself appear as if he's black and has used that to his advantage.
Right.
Well,
right.
I know that in his backup singers, the guys he normally sings with are predominantly black. Maybe that's what made me think it
has to do with his backup singers. I think it has to do with, like, look at his performances. I know, like, his music videos, especially the one where he does, like, the doo-wop thing.
Right, right.
Like, in that one particularly, I think that he goes out of his way to portray, like, black culture, don't you think?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'd have to watch
it. I mean, I think he's – I mean, the way I look at it, I'm not African-American. I'm not an activist. None of that stuff. I mean, I don't see it as cultural appropriation, but far be it from me. But I think the guy's just making music. It happens to be music – that is that R&B funk sound that has been gone for a long time. He did bring it back. I guess that's what they're kind of saying. But I would argue that R&B funk sound would have never come back were it not for Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
That's what Uptime Saturday Night is. All right, coming up next for you, we've got Radio Tinder. Linz is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. By the way, top of the hour at 3 o'clock, we will be joined by Brian Anderson, who did the Lakers-Rockets game last night in the bubble in Orlando. And Kevin Demoff will join us next hour, too, president of football operations for the Rams. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
By the way, you can get that Brian Cranston podcast at stevemason.com. All right, Linz, it is time for Radio Tinder. What do you got for us today?
Well, guys, I'm not in California right now, but I hear these fires out there are pretty serious.
They're terrible.
Starting with the El Dorado fire in San Bernardino County, which has scorched over 10,000 acres and, as of yesterday, was 16% contained. Officials say it's, quote, one of the most dangerous fires they've ever seen in the area. The fire was actually caused by a smoke-generating pyrotechnic device used at a gender reveal party on Saturday morning, Cal Fire investigators determined. Are you guys fans of these ridiculous gender reveal parties, swipe left or swipe right?
Well, not gender reveal parties that start mass forest.
Yeah, of course. But just
obviously, nobody's fans of those.
Aside from this
general,
terrible fire, Do you support gender reveal parties?
No.
Not really.
Look at Jorge. No.
No, straight up no.
Yeah, I mean,
To me, isn't that just another way to beg for gifts?
Yeah,
is that a gift
thing? When did this start? Yeah. How did this become a thing? How many years ago? When did this start, would you say?
So now you got to get gifts for the shower, for the gender reveal, for the shower, and for the wedding. To me, that's a big lift for somebody.
You know what I think takes a lot of guts? Is if you and your significant other are about to have a child, like this happened with Lisa and I, we were in the office with the doctor and she says to us, she said it to me first. She goes, do you want to know the sex of the baby? And I said, you know what? I don't. I want to be surprised. And she looks at Lisa and she said, how about you? And Lisa goes, I absolutely want to know.
And who won?
Oh, the doctor looked at both of us and goes, she's having the baby. She wins. It's a boy. But I don't necessarily. I'm with you, Mace. I think it's having a big gender reveal is kind of just a way to beg for attention and gifts.
Jorge, you came out strongly against. Why did you come out so strongly against?
Because my wife wanted to do the same thing. And I said, no, let's just post a picture. Hey, we're having a baby and with something pink or something blue. And then that's how we tell everybody. That's it.
There. That's the way to do it.
Good for you, George.
You nailed it. Do you have this kid now?
Yeah. 2 years old.
2 years old. What's his name?
Maite. It's a baby girl.
Marte?
Maite. That's right.
Not to be confused with Mai Tai, which is what apparently you've been drinking, Mason.
Very nice. I hate this whole gender reveal. I hate, you know, they're adding so many ceremonies to life. Like, granted, they're all stopped now, but gender reveal parties and showers and third grade graduations and fifth grade graduations.
Yeah,
graduated from fifth grade.
Preschool graduations are the dumbest thing ever.
Oh, right, because preschool is actually technically daycare because it's not required. It's literally just preschool. It's
your son wins the award for best blocks. Best with a crayon.
Speaking of gender reveals, you know that actually this isn't the first massive failure of a gender reveal party in California, nonetheless. Back in October, a grandma died at a gender reveal party.
Jeez.
Because a piece of debris struck her in the head from one of these stupid explosions.
Oh, my gosh.
Confetti or powder or whatever the heck these people do. I think it's the stupidest thing, especially when you already have a kid. That's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't invite me to your gender reveal party. Just tell me,
like
boy or girl.
Having a shower after you already had a kid. Just don't do it.
Just say, having a boy, having a girl.
Yeah, you don't even have to tell me.
Yeah,
I don't
just
care
having a baby.
Having.
Okay, good. Good for you.
All right, next one. A 28-year-old man in England plans to sell bottles of whiskey he received every year for his birthday in order to make a deposit on a house.
Okay.
So each year, Matthew Robson's father gave him a bottle of 18-year-old Macallan single malt whiskey.
Ooh, that's
spending
good.
A total of about $6,000 on the 28 bottles.
Wow.
Those bottles are now valued at over $53,000. So that's enough for a down payment on a house.
Yes, it is.
Do any of you guys have any interesting collections or items that you've saved that over time have become valuable? Swipe left or right.
I'm a swipe left. I don't collect anything. Mason has an extraordinary amount of Frank Thomas rookie cards. That's all I remember. Where are those? And how many do you have?
I have 400 Frank Thomas rookie cards valued at $60 a pop.
They're not worth $60 a pop.
Well, that's what Beckett says. That's what Beckett says.
Sure, if they're graded.
But I have many baseball cards.
I've got that much for that to happen anyway.
Like I've got 2 Tom Seaver rookie cards that I'm guessing probably sadly went up in value this week because they've become even more rare. I've got I got a couple of paintings that I got that were sort of expensive and now I'm told they're worth more. So I've got stuff that my comic books are definitely worth more than when I originally got them. They're worth a nice amount of money. So yeah, I got stuff. It's all packed away. I'm not planning to spend my life on, you know, I'm not going to pull out a stack of Frank Thomas rookie cards and make it rain at the local strip club. But sorry, you get a Frank Thomas card. You get a Frank Thomas card. But I do have collections. Do you have anything, Lynch?
I have some original Star Wars toys.
Mm, nice.
Oh, you're like the guy in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
I'm not. My ex-boyfriend was, though.
Yeah.
And when he moved out, I took him.
Did he have the action figures?
Yeah, they're like the original. There's like three or four of them.
Remember in that movie, Steve Carell has all the, he has an Oscar Goldman action figure from the $6 million Dollar Man.
Yeah, he had quite a few of like the loose figures that were graded and in these little plastic containers.
Wait a minute,
and
I want to back up in this story. What? You took them? Why did you take them?
Because he was a jerk and he cheated on me and we lived together and he never paid his rent. So I just kind of stashed a couple of them.
Okay, so
that sounds good.
Wait a minute, that was actually pretty quick thinking by you.
No, I've always had my eyes on him. I knew how much they were worth.
It was part of your plan.
Yeah,
he never paid the rent. So what do you want me to do? I mean, I waited for 15 years for him to pay the rent. He never paid the rent. So finally, when I broke up with him, I took some stuff to kind of get some back pay.
Well, I think that's totally fair, actually.
Yeah, totally fair. If he hasn't paid for it.
I still got ripped off. Trust me.
All right, but wait, Lindsay, does he definitely know? Did he have so many of them that he knows you took them, or did he not even notice they were missing for a while?
I think after a while he started asking me about them, and I was just like, "Sorry, dude, don't know what to tell you."
Yeah, don't know what you're talking about.
And he kind of let it go because he knows.
Yeah, there you go.
What do you got?
All right, last one here, really quick. So this is kind of a follow up on yesterday's story about Travis Scott being the new McDonald's spokesperson with the Travis McScott meal or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah,
Travis McScott.
So along with the McDonald's Travis Scott meals, he announced on his website, his very popular Cactus Jack website, that he's releasing a line of McDonald's clothing and merchandise. And I want you guys to do yourself a favor and check out shop.travisscott.com and look at the prices on some of these things. He's got T-shirts with just a McDonald's logo, but instead of McDonald's, it says Cactus Jack. Looks like I could just print this out on my computer and iron it on. Plain old white T-shirt. $48 for one of those T-shirts.
He's selling McDonald-themed clothes?
I'm looking at him. These are very basic T-shirts.
Right. They're completely ridiculous, if you ask me. He's also selling a couple other items, like a McDonald's collectible styrofoam coffee cup with a McDonald's logo on it that just says Cactus Jack. $25 for a 10-pack.
What's weird
styrofoam.
Is they don't even say, some of them just say McDonald's and don't say anything about Travis Scott.
Right.
No,
here's the best one.
Zoom in on those. They actually, if you click on them, it's the McDonald's logo. But on the inside of it, it says Cactus Jack.
Oh, I see it. It says Cactus Jack. Yeah. Yeah.
He's also, the best one is the lunch tray. It's called the I'm Loving It lunch tray. $30 for a lunch tray that looks like somebody scribbled I'm Loving It on it.
Yeah, I'm not going to sign up for the McDonald's themed clothing. I think it's pretty cheesy.
So you don't want it, and what if somebody wanted you to buy it?
I think this lunch tray probably costs them about 15 cents to build.
Yeah.
Yep. And you want to know what's crazy? Once these come out, I guarantee, like, the third-party websites that sell them, the people that buy them and then resell them, they're going to go for, like, triple what they cost.
No, really?
The Travis Scott action figure, the cutout, is $65.
This stuff is so limited. Make such a small amount of them that people buy them and then they turn around and sell them. I know he doesn't
sell them because they're sold out. Yeah.
Yeah. He has a clothing line and shoes whenever he's got a deal with Nike. And there's been like three or four shoe drops over the past couple of years where they are some of the most expensive reselling shoes that Nike even has. It's crazy.
As we're speaking about this, I just got the McDonald's ad on my Twitter feed.
Oh, and see, there you go. They're listening.
They're listening. See,
more evidence. Yeah.
See, they're listening. Wow. All right, there is your radio Tinder for today. Coming up next, the guy who called Lakers Rockets for TNT last night, Brian Anderson, will join us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.